passage this evening is from John's Gospel. I don't know if it's consecutive with what you have been studying, is it? Not following on immediately from... Right, it's John's Gospel, chapter 21. Beginning to read at verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said to him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning round, saw the disciple whom Jesus has loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, But Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. Now our passage divides into two sections. Firstly, from verse 15 to verse 17, the tripartite questioning of Peter by the Lord Jesus, and then the remaining verses from verse 18 to 22. The first few verses of the chapter, which we have not read, are very relevant, I believe, to our understanding of our passage. Simon Peter again was a central figure in the early part of the chapter. He had said in verse 3, I am going fishing. They said to him, We are going with you also. This is often upheld as an example of one person influencing others not always to do the right thing. And then we have the appearance of the, quote, stranger on the shore. When I was living in Bristol, I visited Pensford Gospel Hall on the Wells Road. And my attention was drawn to the elderly lady who was playing the organ, more elderly than our organist tonight. And someone said to me, That is Acker Bilk's mother. So it was. Acker had no doubt been brought up in the assembly Pensford. No doubt he had attended Sunday school. And what was the name of Akerbilk's beautiful clarinet solo? Stranger on the Shore. I often wondered whether it was a tribute to a memory, or perhaps even some personal faith that great artist, now passed on, had retained. There followed a miraculous draft of fishes, 153 big ones. I remember when I was teaching, I ran an angling club and I gave a boy some money to buy some maggots. We were going fishing the following day. I saw him the next morning. I said, "Did you get the maggots, Andrew?" He said, "Yes, Mrs. Holway. 352. He'd counted them. Somebody counted these big fish jumping around as they were in the net. There followed Breakfast on the Beach. How lovely. Which brings us to verse 15. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? We may surmise to what the plural these refers. You could take it to be tantamount to asking Simon if he thinks he loves Jesus more than the other disciples love Jesus. I don't somehow think that is the correct interpretation. There was enough of jealousy and ambition already coming between the disciples, as we know. Could it have meant, Simon, do you personally love me more than you love these other disciples? I don't think it means that either. May I suggest, and the older I get, the more useful I find the word suggest to me to be. Can I recall the scenario? They were sitting on the beach. Close by in the shallows or on the beach itself was the unbroken fishing net bulging with the miraculous draft of fishes. Simon, do you love me more than these? I suggest the Lord was referring to the fishes. They had represented Simon's former way of life. He had left Jerusalem to return to it and to them. Jesus was asking him, do you love me more than your way of life, Simon? The identity which you find in your community through it. Do you love me more than the security that your former way of life gave to you and your family? Do you love me enough to leave your comfort zone that this way of life provides you with and to feed my lamb? Verse 16, Jesus repeats the question again. Peter answers truthfully and is commanded, again using the analogy of the shepherd, to tend my sheep. In verse 17, for the third time, much to Peter's disappointment, Jesus asks him, do you love me? And he answers again, acknowledging the omniscience of Christ. And Jesus commands him to feed my sheep. Why did Jesus, knowing the answer and not really needing to ask at all, why did Jesus ask three times whether Peter loved him? Clearly, it was not for his benefit, that is, the benefit of the Saviour. It must, therefore, have had something to do with Peter. Notice the response that comes from the Lord Jesus is different in each case. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. We could say that these three commands cover the greater part of the work of a Christian leader. Children's work, feed my lambs. Pastoral work, tend my sheep. And ministry of the word, feed my lambs. Could it be that? Again, I use the word suggest. There may be another reason why the Lord asked three times. You remember in chapter 18, Peter had, when others had fled, when Jesus was arrested, Peter had, to his credit, sought to stay on hand and followed when Jesus was led away, clearly hoping not to be recognized, lest he himself be arrested or at least sent away. Three people challenged him that evening, thinking they recognized him in the flickering of the firelight. A servant girl who kept the courtyard door, others warming themselves with him by the fire, and a servant of the high priest who was sure he had seen Peter with Jesus in the garden. And on each occasion, anxious to remain, to preserve his anonymity, Peter did what he had said he would never, ever do, and he denied that he knew the Lord Jesus. At the third denial, just as the Lord had prophesied, the cock crew. And Luke is alone in adding these words, "The Lord turned." I was brought up in the Methodist Church. I'm sorry if it shows. Especially in my choice of hymns, perhaps. And there were two artworks with which I became familiar on Methodist premises, in vestries. One was Ecce Homo. Familiar with that one? Pilate presenting the Lord before the people. Behold the man. And the other one was, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. The artist had portrayed a look of tender, knowing disappointment. So to return to our question, why did Jesus ask Peter three times? I suggest it was to help Peter forgive himself. It was not necessary for the Lord to forgive Peter. But who is the most difficult person of all to forgive? Yourself. I am not even sure that we have the right to forgive ourselves. Perhaps it is our portion, although forgiven by our Heavenly Father, to carry with us the awareness of our culpability. I said as much in another church quite recently, and a lady spoke to me afterwards. She said, "You're quite right, Mr. Solway. I had a termination when I was a young So to help Peter forgive himself, having denied the Lord three times, he was given the opportunity to confess him three times. Just as well we are not asked to confess the Lord commensurate with every time we, in one way or another, deny him, or to remember him commensurate with every time we forget him. This brings us to the second part of our passage. Jesus refers in imagery to Peter's eventual death. When you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. When you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you. Imagine with me that you are helping someone to put on their overcoat. What does that person do who is being girded? Jesus did not spell it out in so many words. He never did. He spoke in parables. He did not spell it out. It is something that must be realized. I know I say this frequently, but I believe that the Spirit of God opens our eyes to realize things. And Jesus spoke in parables that his meaning might be realized. Peter was crucified, history tells us, in the persecutions of Nero, during which time the letters of Paul do not conclude with the greetings from the names of the disciples in Rome, you will have realized. He had to be careful. Many of those names with which we are familiar would have been dreadfully put to death. John wrote his gospel in AD 70. He may well have known that this prophecy had come to pass by the time he put his pen to paper. Verses 19 and 20 are rather poignant. When he had spoken this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." If you read Matthew's gospel, you will see that the first recorded words of the Savior to the Apostle Peter, you know what they are, don't you? They were, "Follow me." The last recorded words of the Savior to the Apostle Peter are, "Follow me." Was there something he needed to be told at the outset of his Christian pilgrimage that he still needed to be told? Was there something that we needed to be told at the onset of our Christian pilgrimage that we still need to be told? Something that we haven't dealt with? Something that has not been obeyed? Verse 19. Peter turns and sees John following. And he said, "Lord, Who is, no, I beg your pardon. He says, what about this man? Jesus says this, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? And then again, and finally, you follow me. In order to follow, one has to keep one's eye upon the person that you are following. Take your eye off them, and you may well lose them. Peter had taken his eye off of the Lord Jesus. He was looking at someone else, in this case, the Apostle John. He had been concerned with God's dealings with someone else. And he was no longer primarily concerned with God's dealings with him. This is something of which we can be guilty too. More interested, more concerned with God's dealings with others than with following the Lord Jesus. There may be some upon which we would tend to look disparagingly. Don't. There may be others upon whom we may look admiringly. Don't. Follow me. Following the shepherd. The analogy of the shepherd is consistent right through the whole passage. Jesus presents himself to Peter as the owner of the sheep and the lamb. The one that Peter must follow. He also speaks to Peter as an under-shepherd to feed the lambs of the flock of God, to tend the needs of the sheep, and to feed the hungry sheep. One does not have to be an elder to accept the responsibility for other Christian sheep. We all have a part to play, I believe, in tending the flock of God. Clearly, those who are elders, overseers, bishops, whatever, have a special responsibility, and what do they bear more than responsibility? Accountability. But we all have a responsibility to care for each other. And our prime focus should always be follow. May the Lord bless to us our thoughts from this little passage tonight.